speak to you from my heart. I was getting ready to come to church because Anna had already invited me to come with her. And I said, yes, I love your pastors and I love your church. So I said, yes, I'll go. So I was getting ready and she called me and told me, Mother, you know, she wasn't feeling well. So would you go up and give a little sermon or something? I said, oh, okay, Anna. So that's why today I'm going to speak to you on prayer. And because prayer is what's in my heart. And so, you know, I'll talk to you about what I live. And so bear with me. And so I do remember their grandmother, his grandmother, lived next door to me. And she was the only one that had a phone. And so she was so generous. Every time I needed a phone, usually it was for an appointment for a doctor because I had five girls. So, you know, I was always communicating with my doctor. So she was always so generous. She was in the kitchen making tortillas, always in the kitchen, and she would allow me to use her phone. And I always remember that. You know, it's the nice things that people do for you that you remember. They stay within you. And it's an example. It's an example for you, you know, when people are good to you, that you say, well, you know what? I want to be like that. I want to be like that. So speaking of my age, I will be 94 in December, okay? I'm 93, and I'm still traveling, not as much as I used to. I've kind of cut it down a little bit, but I'm still traveling to Mexico and, you know, wherever God wants me to go. Because that's what I tell him. I'll go wherever you want me to go. And he knows why I'm here this morning. You know, he has a plan for your life, and he has a plan for my life. And his plan was for me to be here this morning. Now, he didn't get Anna sick, okay? No. He loves Anna, and he wants her well and strong because she's still in the mission field. She's in Corona, but she's in the mission field. That phone is ringing continuously, calls from Mexico and Cuba. And so she's still active and we'll be going to Mexico July the 11th, I think. Yeah, I think the 11th. So we'll be going to a meeting over there. So we're still moving. And so I want to share with you about prayer today. And I asked the Lord, Lord, what am I going to do? You know, I get in my Bible and make a sketch, you know, write notes and everything. I'm out the front door. And, you know, I thought, okay, prayer, because that's what's in my heart. That's my life, prayer. And so, when I first accepted the Lord, you know, I was reading the Word, and I read that the Lord, His eyes were going to and fro in this world. And I was reading, and it said, and He was looking for an intercessor. He was looking for a man or a woman, because with God, there's no, you're a man, you're a woman, you know, we're souls to Him. And and the word said, and He found none. And that made me feel so sad. I thought, God is looking for one person and he can't find one. And I raised my hand and I said, Lord, here I am. You found me. I said, my name is B. Espinosa, like as if he didn't know. I'm introducing myself to him. My name is B. Espinosa. I'm here and I'll be an intercessor. And that's where prayer came into my life. You know, and I'd like to share just this about Donalda Johnson. We're going to be at her funeral June the 20th, next week or something. And she passed away. And God put her in my life. God put her in my life. And God will put people in your life. You know, he put Donalda Johnson in my life. And we traveled together all over. All over. But she was my mentor in the area of prayer. She has written so many books on intercession and prayer, many books. And last time, I'm going to miss her. I'm going to miss her, but I know where she's at. You know, I know she's at. And so I'll be joining her. I don't know when, but I will. I'm getting close. And so I'll be there too. And so, you know, but God will send you a person. God will send you people that will encourage you. And through their life, you know, through her life and her example, you know, I grew. And then consequently, you help others grow. See, it's just a chain that God forms of intercessors, of people, you know. And I often, I do have about two or three books there where I sit in my living room, and they're all on prayer. But you know what? I was really getting a real, after all these years, you know, I've gotten kind of a new connection, or it's been revealed to me, you know, how God, now we all know this, but you know, the day comes when something becomes so real to you, and the fact that he is my father, he wants to be your father, and sometimes we don't treat him like our father. We don't give him the respect, the honor, the love, and the communication, the connection of being our father. And he's our father, and now he wants to be your friend. He wants to be your father and just be so close to you. And that's a way we have to desire to be closest to him as our father. That's really something very special. And so this morning, I pray that the fact that he is our father, and he told us, pray, our father, pray. When the disciples asked him, teach us to pray, he said, our Father who art in heaven. And so the connection was right there, even then, when he was teaching the disciples, our Father. And you know, let me tell you something. I asked him when Anna called me, I said, you know what, Lord? What am I going to tell these people? I haven't got time to get the scriptures and write my notes and everything. And you know what? All I have to do is just allow him to speak through me. So this morning, B. Espinosa is up here. But God is talking to you. Because I said, Lord, please, help me. Help me. Let your anointing speak. Now, look, if we pay attention to the fact that God lives within us. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The three in one. The three in one, not just one. The three in one live inside you and inside me. So when we open our mouth, he will speak. He will teach. He will instruct people, anyone, one-to-one or 200. He will, if you will only allow him to, give him permission to, because he's so good. He's so good, he actually allows us to give him permission. He doesn't have to. He's God. He lives and abides within us. You know? And so this morning, I told him, you got my mouth. So you speak. And this is another thing. I said, do not allow me to speak. I have nothing to say. But you have something to say to the people. So it is. And some of you might think, oh, how can she say that? How can she say that, you know, that it's God speaking to us? Well, it's the truth. It's the truth. And we get to the point where we will believe it and receive it. Receive it. You're a good congregation. And God loves all of you. And he knows exactly what you're going through. But I want to encourage you to communicate with him every day. When you get up in the morning, say, good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. When you go to bed at night, say, good night, Lord. Thank you for today. Thank you for safety today. Thank you for everything, Lord. The people that I met, that I talked about, you or whatever happened that day. Thank you, Lord. And at my age, when I get up in the morning, I say, Lord, an angel on my right and an angel on my left. And I say, don't let me fall today. Okay? And guess what? The end of January was when I was standing up in the living room and just out of nowhere, I fell. And I broke my hip. I went to the hospital and everything. But remember my prayer? So when I was in the hospital, I said, okay, Lord, you know, what happened here? So anyway, now I decided, but it wasn't me. It wasn't me. The girls, they said, well, we can take you home or we can take you to a rehab. I said, you know what? Take me to a rehab. I want to go so they can exercise, teach me how to exercise so I can, you know, get to walking and everything. It's good therapy, right? So I went to the hospital, not rehab place. And so there I was in a room. And there was a patient over there that was so angry. I mean, this woman was so angry. She was a patient there. And she was fighting with all the nurses. I mean, really. I mean, like, really, really fighting, arguing and everything. And then she would argue with anybody that went by. And then the other lady was up all night, okay? Up all night with the lights on and walking and everything. And I'm lying with these two women. But then I had two nurses, RN, that were coming to my room. And one of them told me, you know, I come and I talk to you and I feel chills. I don't know what I feel, but I feel funny. I feel chills. And I thought, oh, I know what that is. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the anointing that she feels that was there when she would come and stand, you know, to talk to me and all that. And then she asked me, would you pray for me? Now, this lady doesn't know that I pray for people. She didn't know nothing about me, right? But she says, would you pray for me? And I said, yes, I'll pray for you. I prayed for her. She started crying and crying and crying. And she hugged me. And oh, my goodness. Well, she would come in every day for prayer. And then one day, they were calling her. She was an RN, so she was in charge of things. So they were calling her, and she says, just a minute, I'll be right there. And she goes into the bathroom that was right there, and she's cleaning and taking care of her face before she goes out there. Now see? Then the other lady that was always fighting over there in the corner, I got her talking to her, and I led her to the Lord. Okay. She got saved. And so the nurse, she never told me whether she was saved or not. But something was going on with her because, you know. So I prayed with her, right, every time she'd come in. And then there was another nurse that would also come in. And between both of them, I don't remember who cried the most. They would come in just to cry and hug me. Since when does that happen? I started thinking about it, and I told the Lord, okay, Lord, I'm ready to go home now. I believe, Lord, now correct me if I'm wrong, Lord, but I believe that you sent me here for those three people. The two nurses and the lady that was angry at everybody, because one person is very, very important to God. So for three people, now, I'm not saying that he broke my, you know, no, but you know what? He allowed it. And you know what? It was nothing. They told, 93 years old and you're going into surgery, you know, the doctors spoke to my daughters and told them, you know, she's 93, we're going into surgery, we're going to put her to sleep, we have no guarantee. You know how long the surgery lasted? 20 minutes. Wow. Since when do you have a 20-minute hip surgery? Okay? In and out. And then I came out of surgery and I woke up. And they said, okay, we're going to give you some pain pills, some pain medication. I said, no, I don't want pain medication. Because you know what? My body isn't used to anything strong. The only thing I take for pain, if I have a headache or something, I'll take a Tylenol. So I told them, you know what? You can give me Tylenol. And they said, the nurse said Tylenol. You just had surgery. I said, nothing, please. I didn't have pain. So, you know, I mean, what the doctors say and what God says are two different things. Okay? So all during the time I was there a week, I could only tolerate a week. Because, you know what, they really weren't giving me anything as far as exercise and everything that I couldn't do myself. So I thought, you know what? I'm going home. Okay, don't get tangled up here now. There. Distress reminds me of Sinaloa. I was in Sinaloa preaching to the ladies, and the ladies were sitting next to me, and they were chasing me around when I was walking and pulling on my skirt because they wanted the muestra, of my dress. They wanted to make a dress like this. And they were chasing me too. It reminded me right now that I got tangled up here, that the ladies wanted to make a dress like this, so they were changing. I don't know. I don't crochet. But they wanted la muestra, so I don't know. Anyway, you know what? This morning, Jeremiah 33:3. I have a lot of I can't say this is my favorite scripture because I have a lot of them. But Jeremiah 33:3 says, call upon me. That's prayer. Call upon me and I will answer you. I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not of. And I love it in Spanish. Okay, I don't know how many of you speak Spanish, but it says, clámame. Y yo te responderé, y yo te enseñaré cosas grandes y ocultas que tú no conoces. And I love the word ocultas. That means the hidden things, the things that you don't see. See, I went to that rehab, and I didn't know why I was there, but God knew. Those were hidden people to me, but he revealed. Three women there that needed Jesus. So I belong to him. He can, and I tell him all the time, send me wherever you want. I'll go wherever you want. I'll do whatever you want. And I'll say whatever you want. Not what B wants. And that came very clear to me. One time I was in LA. And my prayer is always, Father, speak to me. Use my mouth, but don't allow me to say anything. You say it. And you know, I was in LA, I was speaking, and all of a sudden I was going to say something. And I couldn't say it. It was like, he shut my mouth. And I said, oh, that was me. I was going to say that. See, if you ask him, don't allow me to speak. Albert doesn't have nothing to say, but you do. So don't allow Albert to speak. You speak, God. You know? And you know what? He does it. He'll shut your mouth. I can verify that he will close your mouth when it's you that's going to speak. And so, you know why? Because when you stand here, you have a responsibility. And it's he, the one. And you might say, well, you know, why is she saying this or why is she saying that? Well, you know what? Talk to God about it. Okay, because he's the one that's speaking to you this morning. And he wants you to get so close to him. He wants you to see him as a father. As a father. And he wants to get so close to you. And you to him. A new connection with God, your Father. And you might think, oh, how can I do that? You know what? We can do anything that he says that we can. And so I'm here today to encourage you in the area of prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Prayer is every day. Prayer is all the time. Prayer is all the time. And don't let anything stop you. With God, there is no age. With God, there is no age. Read the Bible. They're all old men and old women. Sarah having a baby at her age. I mean, the Bible is full of God using older people. The older, the better. Yes. Well, a lot of them think that I should retire. But with God, you don't retire. With God, you don't retire, okay? He will retire you. And I tell him, you know, there's no trace to call me and tell me, well, I'm asking the Lord that he allow me to just finish this book. And as soon as I finish this book, then I can go home. And so she would say, now, I'm ready. Are you ready? And I'd say, I'm ready to know. I'm not writing books, but I'm ready. But anyway, she finished her book. She's in heaven now. And we had some wonderful times. The Philippines, the children, visiting the orphanages. all the work that we did together, and Jamaica, the women, and going door to door, knocking on doors, and sharing Jesus with the people in Jamaica. We went four years in a row to Jamaica. She has a long history, and I thank God that I joined her, and we joined each other, and we did all of this, you know, and all for the glory of God. And so I'm saying now, you know, I'm telling the Lord, I'm ready. And my daughters don't like to hear that. I say, no, especially Liana, my granddaughter. She says, no. Oh, I says, uh-uh. You have nothing to say. He's got the last word. And so, you know what? I don't want you to ever be afraid of death, okay? How many of you think of death and you kind of get like, oh, no, you know? Don't ever do that. Read the word. 1 John, okay? 1 John 4, 1. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Okay? He says, in my Father's house there are many mansions. There are many homes. And I go to prepare a place for you. That where I am, you will be also. So you know what? When I read that, that took all fear away from dying. There's no fear in it. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you will be also. 1 John 4, 4. 4, 1. And so he's preparing a place. And you know what? My husband, John, was a carpenter. He built homes all over Southern California. And so I told the Lord one day, you know what, Lord? Why don't you put out a word to John Espinosa? He's up there. He's with you. And he's a carpenter. And he built a lot of homes here. So why don't you call him, have him come over, and help you finish my house so that I can get up there faster. Because, Lord, you're slower at building a house. Because it's been 90-some years, and I'm still here. And you know what? The Lord has a sense of humor. Because, you know, that prayer is, oh my gosh, is that my phone? You know, and sometimes we need to see him that way. We need to see God as having a sense of humor and laughing with you. And don't let anything stop you from serving God. And I'm going to be done now. I won't keep you any longer because I can stand here and talk about God all day long. I can. Because you know what? I've been to so many places. To Sinaloa, the drug capital of Mexico. And they tell me, you're not going there. Don't go there. Well, I'm not going to do what they tell me. I'm going to do what God tells me. I've been going to Sinaloa for the last 20 years. And Chapo's family comes to the meetings where we have our meetings. They come. And Armida is Chapo's sister. And she comes and she hugs me. And I hug her. And she's my friend. And she's Chapo's sister. I would never have gotten to meet her if I had been scared of going to Sinaloa. Don't ever be scared of anything that God wants you to do. And I went to Cuba, I mean, like when it was really, really Cuba. And I'll get in a plane and go today if he tells me go. you know what? Because he will keep you safe. He has taken me to all those dangerous places, taken me in and taken me out, and back home, in my house, safe and sound. He will never, never allow anything to happen to you when he says you should do something, okay? And when he tells you, go, you go. And don't be afraid. And don't be afraid of dying, okay? Because he's building a house for you. And I told the Lord, yeah, I don't live in a mansion. And he's over there building a mansion for you. How do you like that? You know why? Because he's our God and he wants the best for us. And you're going to see it when we all go. We're going to see it. Heaven. You can't have anything better than that. And that's what we're working for right now. To get there. To get there. You see, we have to guard ourselves, guard our mind, guard our lives, and acknowledge God every day. Please love the Lord. Love the Lord with all your heart. With all your heart. And you that are married, I was married for 67 years. I got married young. And you know what? There's three things in your marriage, okay? Number one is God. God. Number two is love. Love for God and love for your husband. Okay. One, two, three. And the third one is forgiveness. You forgive your wife and your wife forgive you. And it doesn't matter what. You might say, oh, but he committed adultery. So what? He's not perfect, but neither are you. See, we see ourselves as perfect. No, You're not perfect. He's not perfect. So if you work together, God being the center, love for God and for each other, that'll take your marriage all the way. All the way. There will be, you know, there wouldn't be any divorces if we just listen to the Lord. Yeah. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Father. I don't understand why I'm standing here in this church, Lord. I don't know why Anna is a wonderful teacher and a preacher. And Father, I don't know why you send me. But Father, I'm obedient to you. And Father, I pray that one word that I said that would change their thinking or their way of living, Father, it's you giving them that word. And Father, I'm obedient and I'm doing exactly as you said because I rely on you, Lord, not on myself. I thank you, Father, and I bless all the people here. And I bless them to receive your word, Lord, and never to look at their age and think that they're too old to do and too old to go. No, Lord, with you there is no age. And I bless them all, Father, and I cover them all with the blood of Jesus. And Father, if there is anybody in this room right now that is not baptized with the Holy Spirit and does not speak in tongues, Lord, I would have that person come up in Jesus' name so that you might baptize them and they might get closer to you by speaking in tongues and being an intercessor because you cannot be a prayer warrior, an intercessor, if you don't speak in tongues. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Come on, that's wisdom talking right here. Wisdom with experience. There's nothing like experience. I'm a believer of experience. I'm a believer that when Ezekiel speaks words to us out of the book of Ezekiel, he goes, unless you sit where they sat, you will never understand the word of God. And where she has sat, she has seen many. And you know, praying without ceasing. We just covered that. Minister John just covered that in Wednesday night study, closing out the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. 5:17 tells you, pray without ceasing. How can that be? Just do it. You're in the car. You're singing in the car. You're praying. You're worship song, not wordy songs. Even if you got to turn the words around, if that's what all you can learn and sing, turn the words around, because God is so good. He's a creator. He creates. But, you know, I believe that this is a right on time message, because something in my spirit this year has changed. Something has been warring. And, you know, being in the hospital twice because of the heart conditions, right? Twice. What am I doing here, God? First, you do a self-check, right? Lord, what did I do? Did I not listen? Did I not do? Because I don't blame nobody. Ain't no devil can touch me. Come on. You got to understand, devils can't touch you. They can lie to you, but they can't touch you. Unless you're going to be that special one like Job. Got to get permission from the Almighty God. And if that ever happens, you're going to know where God is. He's going to be, you ain't that high yet. But you do have the same hedge around us. Come on, say amen. And even more so this last few months and even this week, there's been a shift in my heart. And this morning, I received a text that created a holy anger. And it takes a lot to get that holy anger that I called fire from heaven to come down on earth to intervene on this statement that I read that had to do with family. Come on, say family. And all I know is, don't mess with my family. Don't mess with my children. Don't mess with my grandchildren. Don't mess with any other of my brothers, my sisters, nephews, and nieces. Don't you dare mess with them, because they've been claimed for the glory of God. And so I read a statement and I felt that holy anger come alive. I said, oh God, I know that's you. I know since I've been in the last 3.5 years, I've been a little quiet, because I know when the fire of God's on you, this is the anointing of God. And I know we're doing what Isaiah has been speaking on the 43rd chapter of verse number 18. He says, forget the former things. Forget the former things. People, stop dwelling on the past and let's come into the future, because 19 says, I'm doing a new thing today. Today is a new thing. Prayer needs to come alive. Prayer means communication with the Almighty who cares for us. He says, cast all your cares. Jesus said, cast all your cares, because he cares. He loves us. And some of us don't understand that, because we come from dysfunctional families and we don't have that right upbringing. We get that, but he gets it more. And if you can't speak properly, he doesn't care, because by the time it hits him, it's proper. Because he's the holy God to unholy people, because we're unholy. I'm going to tell you right now, we are unholy. I don't care how gifted we can be. Give me the best gifted preacher, he's still unrighteous in the eyes of God, because it's his righteousness. Come on, it's not ours. I'm sorry, people, we're in a sinful world. Until the new earth comes, we live in a sinful world, and sin's all around us, and it sits outside crouching, waiting for us to mess up. And some of us have messed up from the floor up. Some of you just need a checkup from the neck up, because it's your thoughts. Say my thoughts. My thoughts aren't always like they should be. And if you know the scriptures, Isaiah and the prophet that I cherish much, he says, you know, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. You know, that's why I had to send my son. I had to send my son. Because he knew and he knows that we may trip. So don't trip. But if you have tripped, and you will trip, you know, how many bought a new car and you park it a mile away? Because you don't want to get that ding in that door. And you do that, and next thing you come back, and there it is, that ding. Why? Because you cherish something you shouldn't have cherished. You should have trusted God. So the harder we try not to do things, the more we end up doing things, because we're not trusting and communicating and praying. But this holy anger, I call fire down on these. And, you know, the worst part of it, it's born again, supposedly, people that caused that creation in me this morning. And then we got to call that, oh, it's not feeling good. I said, oh, you lying devil. You're a liar. Because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice, and we know there's going to be a quick healing on Sister Anna. We know that whatever the purpose was, that we got to hear Mother be 94 years old. Come on, guys, 94 years old. We're going to go back to Mexico, been to the Philippines, been to Cuba, been all over the United States, and I'm going to tell you, Corona knows her very well, Mother B. Actually, they know her Sister B. Right, I call her Mother B out of respect because she's our mother in the spiritual realm. Come on, all around with all these women out there. Come on, help me here, church, because I know she knows her. But my grandmother knew her. My grandma. That we got to put in a bathtub and baptize her. In the name of Jesus, after she gave her heart to Christ, come on, my relative Freddie and I, and my aunts, because they're a strong, cold, religious grandmother I had. She was very religious. Yeah, but now after we got to baptize her in the name of Jesus, come on. She turned 80, but she should have died at 50 with all that cancer she had and all that. She had cancer on her face. They wanted to chop off her leg. They wanted to take her nose off, and we would not let them do nothing because we trust in the God that we believe in. And it's a promise that she shall be saved because it's our lineage. And this morning when I got that holy anger, you messing with my family, you sent the wrong person the text. Come on, you're going after my family? You did a no-no. Because the Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Because I've watched what God does when they come against his people. I watch what God can do when they come against his people. I believe in the prior covenant. It's part of the new covenant because we are servants of the Most High, and I know the day's coming. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. How many agree? So this fire arose in me this morning. So I see the changes that are coming. I know that God wants and has a will this morning for all of you here. There are many of you right here, right now. Even with what we heard the report this morning, we rebuke cancer. Come on. We fight against cancer. How many agree? Cancer is not of God, it's not from God, but what meant for evil, the fall, all of a sudden just tripping, God turns it, I'll always turn it to the goodness for his sake, right? He'll turn it always for your goodness, and no matter what, as we receive those reports, and we're hearing these reports here, that report there, it's time that we get an unction of the Spirit of God, it's time that we stand up again and start taking back what the enemy has stolen. It's time that you, the church, not just us, the pastors, but you, who you have been called to be in the anointing of God, filled with his Spirit, start taking back and saying so. What the enemy has stolen had no right. He didn't steal it. We gave it up. So we need to go take back. Read the prior covenant. David, before he was actual king, and they were winning battles, and they were out fighting, and all of a sudden they come home, and this is how the devil works. Come on, he works. He'll come when you're not home. He'll come when the spiritual ones are not home. I mean, you know what that means? The men were out there fighting. The women were right here praying, we hope. Amen. And then what happened? A king and his thoughts came and took all the family away. And that's where you're going to find out, And then they wanted to stone the man of God back then, right? They wanted to stone him because all our families are gone. It's your fault. We're fighting for your sake. And we were out there fighting, and now we're here. And they took our wife. They took our kids. They wanted to stone him. And so he had to cry out. He did what was right. Cry out to the Lord this morning. Come on, say amen, somebody. We need to cry out this morning, and that's what we're going to do because the Lord gave him instructions, and he brought back everything. And then they came with the abundance of what was there because that's how God works. He's going to bless what you went through and give you more. Come on, stand to your feet. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you one more time, Father God, for what we heard, Lord God. We thank you for what you're yet to do, Father. We release that anointing upon everyone, Father, that are facing what they're facing. Lord God, As we said, we call down the fires of heaven this morning, my God. We call it down here on earth, Lord. We know that you're able. We know that the anointing is going to destroy every yoke, our Father. And we know, Father, that you're going to take care of every situation. We thank you for our own sister Anna's well-being right now, getting the report. She's good because you touched her, Lord God. It is your will that she be healed. And all these that are fighting, Father, all these that are struggling, Lord God, these that believe, Father, wrongly because they're hearing a wrong voice, the lie that we will never amount to what we've been called to because we continue to look on the things of the past. When you said, forget those, Father, right now, remove those from us. And start doing the new thing, Lord God. Begin to stir up what needs to be stirred up in your people. Let that stirring up come from the belly, Father, area where the Spirit of God and that one that needed the Holy Ghost, as we heard the prayer this morning, fill them right now, my God. But touch these that are here, Lord. Touch them that struggle with this truth. Touch those, Father, that have never experienced the real you, the real who you want to be in their lives, who you have come forth to be in their lives, Father. Don't let it be in a religious way, Lord God, but let it be in a relational way, Father. Let them know you, how much you love them. Let them know how much you're always going to be there for them. Let them know, Father, there's nothing in this world that can separate us from your love, as the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Rome, my God, that there's no one, not even angels or principalities, Father, can separate you from that love from us, my God. We don't understand that, Lord. We're not being raised up in the love, Father. We don't understand not being a part of what real love is. But Lord God, teach us. Teach us this day. Don't let us walk out this way the same, Father. As I believe, Father, prove yourself to your people. This is how I believe, Lord God, that when we lay hands and we pray, I always, Lord, believe, prove yourself, because you're the healer. You're the deliverer. You're the one that'll break the shackles, my God. You're the one that's going to renew the mindsets, our Father. You're the one that takes out a stony heart, my God, and replaces it with a heart that is needful, called flesh for you, my God. You're the one that makes a way when there's no way, my Lord. You're the one that will raise that standard when it's necessary. When the enemy comes like a flood, no, Father, you will raise a standard in that flood. Why? Because you love us, and let them know you love them, Father, and you want to open doors today, and you want to shut doors today. This day, my God, prove yourself. Let them feel your presence. Let them experience your presence. Let them know you are alive, and you're alive in them, my God, that we can win this city over for your glory, Lord God, through your presence and a love that only you can provide, my Lord. This morning, Father, we thank you what you are doing in this new day, in this new hour, the 14th day of June in 2026, Lord God. Thanking you right now for all things, for provision for those that are in need of a provider, my Lord. For that was yet to come in this month, Father. We're celebrating a wedding soon, my God. That's you, Lord God, making things right, because that's what you do. You make things right for your people. You open what needs to be opened. You make that way, Lord God. And we thank you because it is written, nothing is impossible with you. With man, yes, but not you, my God. And in your anointing and in your presence, Father, right now, all over this building, Father, just if there's anyone, Lord God, that's in a doubtful mode, We rebuke that doubt. We command it to loose the hold of your people and put that faith back in the size of a mustard seed, Lord God. That's all they need. You touch them right where they're at, my God. Touch our young people in their new journeys, these that have graduated and are going to go forward, Father, these that are moving up in classes, Lord, from one grade to another grade, those, Father, that are going on, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, this day, is your day, Father. And no one can change that. And we receive that love. We receive that goodness, Lord. We receive you, Father. Quicken the dead right now, Father. Get these dead bones, Father, and refresh that, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, let them know, Lord God, that in your goodness, in your grace, in your mercifulness, that you are with us today, that you paid the price for our freedom. And you've paid that way, made that way. You've paved the way for us, Lord God, that we will choose rightly this day who we will serve. Today I pray we chose you, Father, because you chose us. Thank you for choosing us. You looked down in a filthy earth, a sinful earth, and you chose us, Father. Thank you what you're yet to do. Thank you for Mother B. Thanking you, Father God, for what you have yet for her in the days, Lord, because you know our days are numbered. And you know those days, we don't rush them, Father, or nor we interfere, Lord God. But we wait upon you, Father, because you said, those that wait, you shall renew our strength. Like, and we call it wings of eagles, Lord God. We thank you for Bernadette bringing her, driving her, touching her, Father, for being a good daughter. I don't believe it was all the time she's a good daughter, but that's okay, God. You still love us. We're kids. We understand us more than anyone. And we bless what you have blessed. If we bless those out, Father, I pray for those that are going to join us tomorrow in intercession, because we believe in intercession, Lord God. We'll come and pray for the world, Father. We'll pray for one another. We'll pray for whatever need you put and drop in our spirit. But one thing more, Father, as we dismiss, we only dismiss from one another, but not from you. In Jesus' name, you, the church, say, amen. Amen. And then give a praise offering. Greet each other.